2 Timothy chapter 4. All right, very good. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious, preserved, inspired words, Lord. I pray that you'll use them to minister our hearts today. And Lord, help us to maybe fall in love with preaching in a way, Lord, that we have not to this time in our life. May we understand the importance of it. And Lord, may we understand the responsibility, Lord, that falls upon each and every one who hears a Bible message, Lord, and who hears a Bible preaching, a preacher, Lord, to bring that encouragement, Lord, that preachers need in this day and age. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We have in the back of our auditorium there two whiteboards that we've placed at the beginning of this year every single month, according to what part of our heritage we're emphasizing for that month. We're changing things up so that you can go back and take a look. And some of you have gone back there and looked at the revival flyer that advertised the revival that you got saved in. And or you remember a guest preacher that came where you made a key decision in your life. And not everyone here, well, very few, there's a handful maybe. Like there is, there's a handful of people that are we're here for just about every one of those meetings or all of those meetings. For some of us, some of those just represent a period of time in our lives, but it brings back sweet and precious memories. Along with that, there's a table that has some things displayed on it. Also, there's a pulpit, an unusual looking pulpit that's where you put out for display. On the top of that pulpit, by the way, is one of the Bibles that my dad used to preach from. And he would write out his sermons in that Bible, and you can take a look and flip through that if you'd like to. Laying on the pulpit along with that is a picture of my dad standing behind the tree stump pulpit in the garage when the auditorium was in the garage. Also laying on that pulpit is a copy of one of Dad's sermon notes. And I want to tell you what's going to be available tonight for you, okay? And we're going to do giveaways. I like giveaways. Don't you like free stuff? But we're going to, let me get a man to help me get a table or two up. Who would get two tables up? Are you going to be here tonight? Maybe, maybe not. All right, Brother Levi, would you make sure in the foyer area we get a couple of just white tables up? They don't need coverings on them. But and this may be something you want. If you don't want them, it's not going to offend me one way or another. When Dad passed away, we have files and files and files of 40 years of sermons that he wrote out by hand and the very papers that he laid beside his Bible and preached all those years from. And I mean, we've all of us kids have gone through them and picked out what we want. And I mean, there's so many of them. What do you do? What do you do with all of them? We've set some aside to make sure the grandkids get some so that they can have them. But there's still just files and files of this. And so I'm going to lay those back there, some of those back there. And if you'd like to go through them, if there's a sermon or two that you'd like to just take as a keepsake, and all of these are Dad's messages. All of these are handwritten by Dad. You'll see the way he prepared sermons. He uses highlighters to make sure he could find his main points and mark certain things. You'll see handwritten notes on them. And I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to have some of those so that you would have those keepsake. But there's one of those laying on there. Don't take that one, by the way, okay? There's one of those laying back there. But they're all laying on a pulpit. Preacher, that's an ugly-looking pulpit. That's an odd-looking pulpit. Well, It may be odd, I won't argue that, but for those of us that know the story behind it, I would never say it's an ugly pulpit. Because you see, that pulpit came as a result of a decision. And that pulpit is a result of obedience to the verses that we read this morning. I want to tell you the story because it goes right along with what we're going to preach. You see, folks, when my dad surrendered to preach, he was given from the scriptures a charge. Okay, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Here it is, the charge. Preach. Preach the word. Amen. This is what we're emphasizing this month. A heritage of preaching, the 50 years of preaching the word of God. Amen. It's a charge given. It's one he took very seriously. And when he went into his first pastorate, I think he probably, we've had this discussion, but he thought what all young preachers think, that no matter where you go, if you walk into a church and people care enough about God to show up to church, then surely they've come because they want to hear what the Bible has to say. They want to hear Bible preaching. You would think that that would be a no-brainer, but that is not necessarily a given. Matter of fact, there are many churches that if a man opens a King James Holy Bible and preaches it straight and true, he won't be there very long. If that preacher can't be bent to their will and their desires, you know what? They can go find someone that will. And my dad got into that very situation. Very first church that he pastored, there was a court. Not all the people in there were bad people. Matter of fact, some of those people were very, very good people. And some of those people really wanted Bible preaching, but they were the minority. And the core group of those people in that church, you know what, once the honeymoon was over, which didn't last, I think, real long with Dad, because he's pretty plain spoken, amen, they begin to realize that it doesn't matter who I am or how I spell my last name. If I'm doing something against the Bible, I'm going to have to hear about it. You know what? If I'm living in a way contrary to the Bible, sooner or later, he's going to get over in my tater patch. If we're doing things in the church that are contrary to the scriptures, they're going to stop because the preacher's going to make sure they stop. And once they realized that's who they had in their pulpit, they decided they didn't like it. And so my dad just kept preaching the Bible. And he was faithful to the Bible. And there were a percentage of the people that loved it and embraced it. But there was a larger percentage of the people that didn't want it. And so, you know what? He was there for just a few years, and those were years where there was a lot of battling. And there came a time where Dad began to see that the majority of the people there was not interested in the Word of God. And so, you know what? He began to make from the pulpit this statement: the day that I can't preach the Word of God from this pulpit will be the day that I'll go find a tree stump somewhere and preach the Word of God from a tree stump. Because wherever the Word of God is preached, it will attract people. Amen. And he said that and said that and said that. And there came a day where there was a parting of the ways. You know what, folks? Listen, even when Jesus sent his disciples out the very first time, he told them, I'm going to send you to some places that, you know what, will not count themselves worthy of receiving it. They will not think that the Word of God is worth hearing, that it's important. He said, when you find out you're in one of those places, you take the shoes off your feet and knock the dust off as a witness against them, and you go down the road somewhere and you preach to a different city that maybe will find itself worthy. And so there came a time where Dad needed to go and leave that church and find a different pulpit. Some of the people at least that went to that church was not happy that they had ousted the preacher, was not happy that his kind of preaching would no longer ring from their pulpit. So they began to call my dad, and they began to encourage him to gather the people together and to preach and to start a new church. Bob Swaby was one of those that was on the phone with my dad. And he finally said, Preacher Ross, if you'll simply come to my house, we can set up a few chairs and we can put the word out. We can see whether or not there's an interest in this. Why don't you come and at least preach 1 week at my house? My dad prayed about it and decided to do that. Well, Bob Swaby got so excited that Dad was coming that he took the tractor and he went out into the woods and he tied a chain around a small tree and he yanked it up by its roots and he dragged it up the house and he took the hose and he washed off the dirt best he could and cleaned it up best he could. He put a support board on the bottom of it and a a pulpit top on the top of it, and you can see the picture of it. If you'll go back to through our foyer after church and then take a left over by the bookstore, you'll see that display cabinet. In that display cabinet is a picture of what that original pulpit looked like. That's the same tree stump, but the base has been changed. That's the same tree stump, but the top has been changed. If you want to see what it looked like the day that Dad walked in, there's a picture of it back there. What's the significance of that, preacher? Why is that an important thing for us to remember? Preacher, I'm sitting out here, and I've heard you tell that story 50 times. Well, you'll probably hear it 51 and 52 and 53. If God gives me life and lungs, amen, then it ought to be told. You say, why is it important? What's the significance of a tree stump pulpit? Here it is. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Here it is. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. He says, I charge thee, therefore. Listen to me as I lay the groundwork for the message. My dad used to tell me, my preacher dad used to say, when you see a therefore in the Bible, check and see what it is. Therefore. So let's go back to chapter 3. You see, folks, Paul is about to charge a young preacher to preach the word. Well, wait a minute. What preceded this charge? What is the therefore, therefore? Why is it so important that every generation produce preachers who will not compromise when it comes to the preaching of the word of God? Well, let's look back in chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Here's the command: from such, turn away, turn the right way. Why is it, folks? Why is it that we need, like we've never needed before, people, preachers, just to stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord? Why do we need to obey the charge in the pulpit to preach the word? Because, number one, we live in perilous times. Right. By the way, this is an outline, but it's a introductory outline, because I don't want you to get excited when we get to point 3 and think that we're done, amen? But the message will probably be much shorter than the outline. Introduction, at least that's what I'm going to say now, at least, all right? Why do we need tree stump preaching? Why do we need to obey this charge? Why do we need to, as older preachers, to tell younger preachers it's not time to compromise? It's not time to trim the message. It's not time to cut back on what the Bible says. Because we live in perilous times, folks. Now think about this. These times were just described to us, and yet as a preacher, we have to preach against the times, against the sins of the last days. So that means in a time where the Bible says that men, or the majority of men, will be lovers of their own self, we still need to preach the first and great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And we need to preach on not loving ourselves, but denying ourselves. Listen to me, you can go to the Facebook page of any backslider and find a bunch of posts about the importance of the fact that they had to come to the realization that they just had to learn to love themselves. That's why they're out of church. That's why they're backslidden. You know what? If you have that on your Facebook page, you might want to put a Bible verse beside it. That is not supported by the Bible. That is anti-Bible and an anti-God, anti-Christ way of living your life. So why must we preach like we've never preached? Why must we preach without compromise? Because in a time where men are lovers of their own selves, listen, put yourself in the place of the preacher. I still have to come up here and preach against selfishness and self-love and self-worship, because that's what it's mutated into. The Bible says that we're in the last days, men will be covetous, and yet we need to come to the pulpit and preach on contentment. Okay, in a time when the last day sins are last days are filled with boasters and people that are proud, the Bible still tells us of the importance of meekness and humility. You know, in a time where there will be blasphemers, the Bible says, we need to stand in the pulpit and call them to account. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Why do we need to preach and not compromise and obey the charge given to us? Because, listen to me, it's more important than others than ever because of the sins of the last day. We need to preach against being disobedient to your parents and against the rebellion that causes you to act that way. We need to preach against unthankfulness, preach on the importance of thankfulness. We need to preach against those that are saying that it's okay to live an unholy, unseparated life. Instead, we need to preach on the holiness of God and the Bible command that as Christians, God's commanded us, be ye holy for I am holy. The Bible says that we'll live in a day where men will be without natural affection. And yet here we need to stand and preach against perversion, against sodomy, against fornication, and against adultery. We've got to preach it harder than we ever have before. And yet it's more accepted than it's ever been before. The Bible warns about truce breakers and false accusers, and yet the pulpit must cry out against lying and cry out for honesty. How about incontinent? That means without self-control. And yes, the Bible teaches us as Christians that we need to live our lives with discipline and moderation and godly restraint. The Bible uses the word fierce. That literally means savage. To live as savages. In the last days, men are living like savages, and yet the pulpit must preach that mankind is made in the image of God. We're not to live at the moral level of the beast of the field. The Bible says in the end days, there'll be those that the despisers of those that are good. And yet we need to stand in the pulpit and exalt the importance of goodness. There will be traitors in the last days, cowards and turncoats, spiritual Judas Iscariots, modern day Demases. And yet what is the pulpit supposed to do? Preach against looking back and preach against turning back. The Bible talks about brashness and rashness and pride and arrogance. And these will be the prominent character traits of the last days. And yet we need to preach on being prayerful and careful lest they experience the truth of the scriptures. Pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We're going to have to minister in the last days when men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And yet, listen, folks, if I'm going to stay true to the scripture, I got to preach on self-denial, on taking up our cross, and on following Jesus Christ. Now, more than ever, it's important that the preacher not compromise. More than ever, it's important that the pew not get quiet when the preacher's not compromising. When the pew verbally and both privately and personally support a preacher who has not compromised, but is simply obeying the charge that God has given them. That's why I told our men recently, some of you are getting too quiet. Some of you have always been too quiet, amen. Lean over, get a permission slip from your wife to say amen and start amen the preacher, amen. Because we live in perilous times, it's not time to quiet now. It's time to lift up our voice like a trumpet, come on, and tell the people their sins. Number two, listen to me on my introductory outline. Number two, why is it that we must obey the charge given to us? Because of the abundance of false teachings and fake preachers. In chapter 3, we are looking at the chapter before chapter 4. Having a form, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. Listen, folks, we want to preach these verses and we want to act like they're not there. Want the preacher to jump over them? I'm going to read a couple things. You better think about what's coming next. If you got a vote, would I not just elaborate on some of this, or does it need to be said? Okay? For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Divers lusts means diverse or many or multiple lusts. Their desires are not the same desires that the Bible promotes for a godly woman. They want to do things that the Bible says that they're not to do. They want to dress in such a way that the Bible says not to dress. They want to talk in such a way that the Bible condemns. They want positions of authority in the church that the Bible says a woman should not hold. Silly women, foolish women. Think about what it says there. These are the ones that false teachers and false preachers can very easily get out of an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church and get to switch over to an evangelical, liberal, compromising church. Right. Ladies, I'm blowing the trumpet. Amen. I've said this in the pulpit. I've never lost a man. But I've had a man follow a woman. out of the church. I've had men follow rebellious teenage girls out of the church. Ladies, one of the things you better understand, listen to me, and there's not a woman in here that wouldn't agree with me if I was to spend this time preaching on the fact that there are some temptations and there are some weaknesses that come with being a man that we have to really guard against. And it's funny how every time I say that, a woman has no problem saying, yeah, that's right. You know, there are certain things men need to be even more careful than we need to be about. And yet the Bible tells us that it wasn't Adam that was deceived. It was Eve that was deceived. And for some reason, when we get to this preaching, a preacher's supposed to back up or back off. But folks, this is part of the reason we're in the perilous times that we're in. Your husband is not going to be deceived easily in areas that you can be deceived easily. That's why he needs to be leading the home and not you leading the home. He's not going to react emotionally to some things that you react emotionally to. That's why you need to listen to your husband and let your husband keep you in the right kind of a church. Amen. All right, I'm going to get down amen myself in a minute here. Listen, folks, there's a reason we can't back up. There's a reason we can't back down. You know one of the things, and I can prove it by a letter that was written that I have in the archives that was written by Bob Swaby and the deacons to my dad, encouraging him to keep preaching. Encourage him to preach on the very things that they didn't want to hear. And one of them was the fact that a man should lead his home and not the woman. And that's one of the things. Good night, folks. I mean, come on, Ephesians chapter 5. What do you want us to do? Rip an entire chapter out of the Bible just because you want to be a Jezebel? Now, what we need to do is start changing our heart and aligning our families to fit the Bible. If we do that, there's a safety in it. There's a safety in it. Because false teachers and fake preachers prey on silly women. And if they can get a woman's heart, and if they can get a woman upset, and they get a woman wanting to leave a good Bible preaching church, hey, you know what? Adam wasn't deceived, but he bit out of the same apple that Eve bit out of, same piece of fruit. Not because he was deceived, because of the love he had for his wife and the influence that she had on him. Ladies, you better be careful how you use that influence. And men, by the way, listen to me. It's right for you to do right no matter what your wife does or doesn't do. Amen. Because of the abundance of false preachers and false teachers and fake preachers. Now, listen, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's go back over to our text. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The Bible says, listen, for the time will come. You know why the charge was given? You know why? It is said in the previous verses, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. You know why that charge is given? Because there's going to come a day when, you know what? It's going to be hard to stay true to the Bible. Understand, if you stay true to the Bible, then not everyone will stay true to you. I can say that after, come on, almost 35 years of preaching the Bible, I can say it. If you stay true to the Bible as a preacher, not everyone's going to stay true to you. If you stand on the Bible and refuse to compromise, then there will always be those who will not stand with you. They'll walk away. They'll find teachers having itching ears. What does that mean? Teachers, comma, having itching ears. That's not describing the teachers. That's describing the reason they went and found the teachers. That word having itching ears means someone who will scratch or tickle your ears. Your ears are tickled. You want your ears tickled or scratched. Come on. Come on. If my dog's disobeying me, come on now. You know what? Sometimes I need to correct the dog. Okay? When the dog's disobeying, you are doing something bad, or it's torn up the how many Amazon packages that were left at the door? And every time it does it, you go over and start scratching its ear. And rubbing its belly, you know what it's going to do next time? It's going to tear up the package again. They preach, I don't like this comparison. Well, the Bible's the one that's talked about scratching their ears. I'm not scratching any human ears. I'm doing the best I can to figure out what it's talking about. But I've scratched Rosie's ear. By the way, in case anybody's listening and don't know, Rosie's the name of my dog, okay? See somebody taking that out of context, and it'll be on the internet by tomorrow on a YouTube channel, you know. Preacher publicly admits to scratching Rosie's ear, you know. He's my dog. Okay, she's my dog. This is a female dog, little fat blonde. Yeah, okay. Getting myself deeper in trouble, brother. I read a quote this week. It says that when you find yourself in the hole, the wisest thing to do is to stop digging. And I thought, I never have learned that. But listen, folks, there's people that just don't want to hear it. They're not going to hear it. There's women, they are not going to hear it. There's people I invite to church every single week, and I know the guy would come and the wife will never come. Because they already know what they're going to hear just based on where we have stood for 50 years. And they're just not walking through the door. Now, they want a form of godliness. They just want to deny the power thereof. They want to go to a church that makes them feel good about being a Christian, but won't touch certain parts of the Bible. Now, folks, listen to me. We're doomed if Christianity turns into that. We're doomed. I mean, look around here. I was thinking about my dad when all of a sudden as a young preacher, I think about this first church, and all of a sudden he's just trying to stand where the Bible stands and preach what the Bible says and see to it that things done in the church are in accordance to the Word of God. So he begins to make changes to make sure they're lined up with the Scripture so God can bless them. And all of a sudden, instead of everybody coming up and saying, thank you so much, preacher, for pointing us to the book, all of a sudden, the pressure's being put on. You need to leave these things alone. Now, wait a minute, folks. Let's get in the time machine, go back there and put your... Come on, we're not talking about the pastor you knew in the last 10 years. We're talking about a young preacher, first church he's pastored. Still trying to figure it out. And you think about what hinged on the decision that he made to walk up behind this pulpit and just announce to everybody, you know what, I'm gonna preach the Bible. In the Word of God. There's a day I can't preach it here. I'll find a tree stump and preach it. But I'm preaching the Bible. You realize that the last 50 years and every single person that's been saved and influenced through this ministry was hinged on one decision. That's why I'm talking about the tree stump pulpit. That's why I'm charging about talking about a preacher's charge. Listen, men, that's why I'm after you a little bit this morning. Come on. That we can't get soft on this matter of supporting Bible preaching. All right, because of the abundance of the false teachers and the fake preachers. Listen, why would you spend? Think about this. Why would you spend a lifetime preaching a book that most people despise? Come on, why not compromise? Come on, I'm going to ask you young preachers. Why not just compromise? A lot of your crowd's doing it. A lot of your age group is doing it. Why not trim the message? Why not opt for popularity? You say, preacher, take a look around. Come on, read the room. Look at the rich preachers. Look at the popular preachers. Look at the revered preachers. Look at the acceptable preachers. Come on, they've all trimmed their message. They won't preach all that the Bible says. Many of them won't even use the King James Bible. They've embraced worldliness. Their wives embraced worldliness. Their kids have embraced worldliness. Well, listen, why don't you just follow their example and just let off this preaching on sanctification and separation, biblical standards of conduct? Why not just leave it alone? Go along to get along. If my dad would have done that, this church wouldn't exist today. It wouldn't exist today. Why can't we do that? Because we live in perilous times. Why can't we do that? Because of the abundance of false teachings, teachers, and fake preachers. Listen, I don't care if everybody else in the world compromised. I don't care if Jerry Ross is the last voice left. I'm not going to compromise. I don't care if it comes down to the point where I walk in here on Sunday morning and preach to an empty church. I'd rather preach to nobody than compromise on the Word of God. And we need young preachers to just decide in this day and age, you're going to settle this thing. You're going to stand by this book. You're going to preach this book. You're not compromising on this book. I don't care what everybody else is doing. We've got to have somebody in the generation of young preachers that'll grab a hold of this King James Bible and say, you know what? Thus saith the Lord. That's what we're going to preach here. Point number three of my introduction. Why not just compromise, preacher? Why the tree stump pulpit mentality? Because of the indisputable power of the Word of God. In chapter 3, look at verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why must you preach the Bible? Why must you stand on the Word of God? Think about this. I have to, because it's a book that's delivered to us by inspiration of God. It is a God-breathed book containing the very words of His mouth and the message of His heart. The Bible says it's profitable. It will provide doctrine for the church. It will provide reproof for the church. It will provide correction for the church. It will provide instruction for the church. It will grow up God's people to Christian maturity and spur God's people to Christian activity. That's what it says. And it won't happen if we don't preach it. If we don't preach it. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Listen, we have to keep preaching the Bible because of the sins of the last day. We have to keep preaching the Bible because of the condition of a world bent on disobedience and blasphemy, because of the presence of false teachers and fake preachers. I don't want to be aligned with that crowd, by the way. I'm not joining their ranks because of the indisputable power of the scriptures, because of these things. An old preacher, come on, Brother Saul, at the end of his life, in the end of his ministry, charges a young preacher at the beginning of his ministry, and he says this: preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. Just preach the Bible. Whatever it says, preach it. Don't worry about political correctness. Don't worry. Stop wetting your finger and testing the wind and seeing what's popular. Just preach it. Amen. Preach the word. If you will, direct your attention to verse number 2. Preach the word. It then goes on to say, be instant. Stand upon it. We're talking about the Word of God, the importance of it, what it contains. Be instant. Be instant. That means to stand upon it. Look up that word. It means to stand upon it, to refuse to move from it, to be faithful to this book. Man, you need to hear this. Church, you need to have a preacher. There ought to be security in this. There ought to be comfort in this. There ought to be confidence in this. That, you know what? I'm going to come to church and my preacher is going to open this book and he's going to preach what it says. Think about this. In season, out of season. You know what that means? When it is opportune and when it is inopportune. Right. That's literally what that means. In season, out of season. What's the word opportune mean? When it's timely, you know, something's opportune, then it is timely, it's convenient, it's fortuitous, it's favorable, it's fitting, it's suitable, it's well-timed, it's seasonable. That's what it means. Well, that's when you're supposed to preach the Bible. Yes, it is. If it's opportune, preach it. And most preachers will go that far with you. But the Bible doesn't say just to preach it in season. It says preach it in season and out of season. Now think about this. What's inopportune mean? Contrary, disadvantageous, disturbing, inappropriate. Inappropriate, inappropriate. Sometimes the Word of God is an inappropriate truth. Inappropriate truth. What do you mean by that? Not inappropriate as far as its character, but inappropriate when it's lined up with the activity of the people that you're preaching to. Inconvenient. How about this word? Troublesome. How about unfavorable? Everybody wants to preach a message that puts you in a favorable light. Are you willing to preach messages that put you in an unfavorable light? Mistimed, unseasonable, unsuitable. And unfortunately, we're sending a lot of our young people to Bible colleges where men are teaching young preachers that they should never preach anything that would be inopportune. And yet the Bible commands us that we are to go in and we are to sometimes blow a trumpet when everybody just wants you to let them stay asleep. That we are supposed to go in and turn on a light when everybody else would just as soon it stayed dark. That we come in and have to sometimes point out a sin that everybody else would just as soon stay unmentioned and stay hidden. And folks, listen to me. You spent, come on now. My daddy was in the ministry for 40 years. There wasn't any compromise in that man. 40 years, he did what I'm talking about. But you know what? God blesses. He blesses the preaching and teaching of his word. And we can't change just because of the reaction of people. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, stay true to the intent of each portion of scripture. What's that mean? Where the Bible reproves us, then let it reprove us. Where the Bible rebukes us, then preach it as rebuke. Preach it as rebuke. I've listened to men preach portions of scripture that are written to rebuke us as Christians, and listen to them spend 5 minutes apologizing and trying to change the character of the verse. Part of the Bible is there to rebuke us. So if I'm preaching that part, it should come across as rebuke. Boy, this is deep stuff, amen. Where the Bible exhorts us, and thank God it does, that means to build us up, then preach it as exhortation. People, God's people need all three, by the way. Right. So what's my conclusionary outline as we close the message this morning in a rather slow and meticulous way? Let me just make some proclamations. I'll get you out of here. Number one, I will preach the word because of the one I have to one day answer to. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put you in the preacher's place for a minute here. Well, you know, I come to church and I just feel like you come after me. Well, maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's the Bible. I don't know who's walking in the door. I know the message God lays on my heart. I know what I'm supposed to preach. You say, preacher, why don't you trim the message? Because of verse number one, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. His appearing, his kingdom. Folks, listen to me. We've got to be careful as Christians. We've got to be careful. Bible says this, Jesus, red letter words, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And I want to apply that verse to preachers. You know what? There's some preachers that are mounting pulpits week in and week out, and they are ashamed of Jesus' words. There's some of his words that they're ashamed to proclaim, they're ashamed to preach on, and they're ashamed to mention. And I'm not going to join the ranks of those preachers. Brother Dively tells people when he invites folks to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and he's told me this, I don't know how many times. You know what he's told me? He said, when I tell him, invite him to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that he just says, I'll just tell him. Now, you know what? When you come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let me tell you what you're going to hear. You're going to have our preacher, and he's going to get up, and he's going to open the Bible, and whatever it says, he's going to preach it. Amen. He's not going to apologize for it. He's not going to make excuses for it. He's not going to trim it. He's just going to say it the way it is. You might as well know in advance. Man, I don't think I'm going to put that on a church brochure, but, you know, I have a hard enough time getting them in the door. But amen. 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 Ron Williams, and by the way, I want you, you know, these testimonies, I want to mention that again. Here I'm taking a little time, but if you haven't signed up to give a testimony, you were saved here as a result of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, one of the ministries. Get your name on there. Hey, I ask parents, talk to your kids. Work with your kids. Have your kids write out their testimony. Have them practice their testimony. I want to do some children's testimonies who were saved here. Amen. Come on, listen up. Let's get it done. I got to get a lot of this organized in the next short amount of time. Amen. So help me out. All right. Brother Ron Williams came to our church, and he walked in the door, and Brother Abel and Samuel met him at a truck stop over there and invited him to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and he walked in the door. And he came two Sundays in a row, and then I asked him to come and spend some time with me, and I wanted to find out a little bit about him. And he just came to me, and he said, preacher, I know you don't know me, and you don't know anything about me, and you don't know my background, my whole story, but he said, what I'm looking for is this. He said, I just want to go to a place where if I open the Bible to the same place the preacher told us to open the Bible, that what it says, he's saying it. No matter what it says, he's saying it. And if I can find that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'll be here. Well, here it is, what, 3-4 years later? He's still here, amen. I mentioned the testimonies because even though he wasn't saved through this ministry, his wife was saved through the ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. She's written out her testimony. He showed it to me the other day, and I read it. There were some things about her testimony I didn't even realize, had never even heard. And you know what? I don't think she's going to maybe feel comfortable. She's, you know, Swedish. I don't know how else to say it, all right? She's from Switzerland. And so, but Brother Ron says, I told him, well, maybe you need to come up and read her testimony for her. Maybe the both of them, I'll get them both up here together. Come on, if it is so, say so. Amen.
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 But you know why his wife got saved? Because he walked in the door of a church and said, I need to get my wife under the preaching of somebody who's going to open the Bible. And if it says it, he's going to say it.
Amen.
Now, folks, I'm like, listen, I don't have any reason to believe there's one person in this church that's not 1,000% behind what I'm saying. But I know how the devil works. And you have got to be careful in your heart that you do not start building an animosity towards the plain, pointed preaching of the Word of God. Okay, you need to support it, gentlemen. Ladies, you need to support it. You need to support it. Amen? You're not going to make me mad if you're a lady and you say amen. I miss my mama's amen. Preacher, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, then get a little hanky and just wave it every once in a while, amen? That'll at least let me know that you're awake, you know? Make it a white one so I think you're surrendering, amen? If I see a red one, I'll think you're charging. I won't know what to do, so. Preach the word because of the one I have to one day answer to. Look right up here. I think every once in a while a preacher needs to say some things. I mean, I'm just going to take a minute, draw a circle right around me and separate myself from everybody else in this room. Excuse me, I'm not your puppet. I'm not here that every time you want to pull a string, I dance to whatever tune you want to. That's not who I am. God didn't call me to be a puppet.
Amen.
I'm not a politician.
Amen.
Okay? I'm not worried about the vote.
Yes.
Okay? I'm not worried about how popular it is and how popular I am and how popular what I'm not worried about any of that. You know what? Hey, preacher, what are you worried about? I'm worried about standing at the judgment seat of Christ and looking in the eyes of the Lord Jesus and answering to how faithful I was to this charge to preach the word. We've got enough puppets. We've got enough politicians in the pulpit. We need preachers in the pulpit. Preachers in the pulpit. I'll preach the word because of the one I will one day answer to. I will preach the word because of those who went before me. Look back in chapter number 3. It's worth our time. He calls out the false teachers, but you know what he says after that? After he calls out the false teachers, starting in verse number 5, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away, creeping into houses. How about this? Led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the truth, knowledge of the truth. There's a whole bunch of internet scholars out there that spend all of their time studying, but they can't come to the truth. You better be careful who you're reading after. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. You always know these folks because they'll rise up in church and they'll stand against the true men of God that are standing on the principles and precepts of the Bible. So he exposes that crowd, but jump down in there a little bit. Notice this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You see that? But thou hast fully known my doctrine. He said, listen, Timothy, the man that trained you, and he was talking about himself, I'm not one of these guys. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, fully known my manner of life, fully known my purpose of faith, fully known my long suffering, fully known my charity, fully known my patience, fully known my persecutions, fully known my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now listen, folks. You know what he was saying to Timothy? I'm giving you as a reason that you need to stay true to this book is because of the guy that trained you. These false teachers, come on. Little fake false teachers and fake preachers out there, sadly, are influencing a lot of young men. That's why I try to have some influence on young preachers. That's why I take the time to influence young preachers, because those birds are out there on the internet trolling for them. And Paul said, listen to me, don't you get infatuated with that crowd. Okay? Paul's warning Timothy, yes, there are in these last days false teachers and fake preachers. And they make their living leading captive silly women laden with sins who are easily led away because of their own diverse lusts. There will always be those who claim to be well-studied and yet cannot seem to grasp the simple truths of the Bible. They can quote internet. They can quote internet wolves dressed in sheep clothing, but they seem unable to take the simple principles and precepts of the Word of God and grasp them. But Paul's warning Timothy against the modern day Janices and Jambres who stand up and criticize true men of God. Paul is warning Timothy, come on, there'll always be men who will claim to be godly, but if you examine their lives, you'll find that they resist, come on, the truth, resist the truth, that their minds are corrupt, their faith is reprobate, their lives are defined by folly. And he spends all this time warning against that crowd, but he says this, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. You know what he was saying there, Timothy? You know why you need to stay true to the Word of God? Because you weren't trained under a compromiser. You weren't trained under a false teacher. Come on, who faked godliness and compromised on the truth. You have fully known my doctrine. You have fully known my manner of life. You have fully known my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions. Timothy, the men who trained you preached the Word. Now the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, continue in them. Remember of whom thou hast learned them. I just want to say publicly, I thank God for a preacher daddy who did not compromise. Listen, I want to say this. The number one reason I want to preach the words, because I got to look in the eyes of Jesus. But you know what? I'm also going to one of these days get to heaven and look in the eyes of my preacher dad. And other preachers that trained me. And other preachers that influenced me. I don't know how these compromisers think that's going to go in heaven. But I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I'm glad that I have a heritage of tree stump preaching and that we have a tree stump pulpit. I'm glad this church was birthed under the sound of tree stump preaching. I'm glad I went to a Bible college where during freshman orientation, Brother Hiles instructed us to take our dictionaries and cut out two words, quit and compromise. He then would always add this. Both words are easy to find because they both start with K. By the way, everything he said for a reason. Stop and think about what the reason was behind that. You know what he was saying? I don't care about your intellectualism. Right. I don't care about the wisdom of man's words. You went to a college that sometimes mocked academia? Yes. You know why? It deserves to be mocked. Even the academia that's found in some, quote unquote, some Bible colleges. Yeah, he said it what he said for a reason. By the way, so does your preacher. You might pay attention. Why preach the word? Why be instant in season, out of season? Why must I keep rebuking where the Bible rebukes, reproving where the Bible reproves, correcting where the Bible corrects, exhorting where the Bible exhorts? Why must I be true to this book? Because of those who handed it to me. Because of those preachers of old who watch from above, because of a heavenly cloud of witnesses who are no longer able to proclaim the truth of this book. But you know what? They're cheering from above to the handful of us that are still doing it. And I'm not going to let them down. Number three, I will preach the word because of how I wish to be remembered. And then this is where we get to the end, verse 6 through 8, chapter 4. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. You know what? He's able to get to the end of his life. Come on, this is the last, one of the last letters he wrote, maybe the last words he penned before they chopped his head off. And you know what he was able to say? I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Listen to me, folks. You can decide to be remembered, and these preachers out there, you know what? They can decide to be remembered the way they're going to be remembered. But I don't want to be remembered as a coward. I want to be able to say I fought a good fight. I don't want to be remembered as a quitter. I want to be able to say at the end of my life, I have finished my course. And I don't want to be remembered as a compromiser. I want to be able to say, I have kept the faith. The faith. This week, this month, we're going to emphasize the importance of 50 years of preaching the Word of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd take what was said, Lord, and you'd help Help us, dear God. So much pressure is being put on a generation of preachers to trim the message and to compromise and to leave certain parts of the Bible alone and to tiptoe and apologize. Oh, God, that's not going to bring revival. But it's not just a temptation in the pulpit. It's a temptation in the pew. More and more, they're coming after. Here they come on the internet, trolling, looking, trying to find people that are attending good Bible preaching churches, mocking our separation, mocking our holiness, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, talking about the advantages of compromise. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to guard against these things. Lord, when we are tempted by this, may we get back into the Bible. May we get into 2 Timothy. May we read chapter 3. May we read chapter 4. May we understand the importance of the charge that's given to the preachers. And Lord, the charge then that is assumed by the congregation to listen to and amen and support Bible preaching. Lord, I pray, dear God, that if you tarry for 50 more years, Lord, the word of God will ring from this pulpit without fear or favor. Lord, there will be no compromise, dear God, but that the word of God will be preached, Lord, dear God, as it is your word. Pray these things in Jesus' name.